This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 7:14 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn. And now to close off our show for this segment, we wanted to look at what the process actually is for putting forth motions in Parliament. And this came after Pejuang Chairman Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad issued a statement. So this was something that was reported last week in which Tun M basically said that the Speaker of the House, Azhar Azizan Harun, doesn't have the right to reject two of the motions that were presented by Pejuang without referring them to the Yang di-Pertuan Agong. And this came after Tun M received a letter from the Speaker, which states that only the Agong can agree whether the motions will be debated. And he essentially said, well, yes, you know, that may well be true, but you didn't then present them. And so in the midst of this sort of back and forth is where we come in, because we just wanted to understand what is the process in essence, and who gets to put forth what, how do these motions then get prioritized? So we are going to be covering that very shortly. Let us know your thoughts on this though. And if you have any questions, again, that number to call is 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Joining us over Zoom now, we have Maha Balakrishnan, parliamentary consultant and researcher. Maha, pleasure to have you with us.
Hi, Lynn. Thank you for having me on.
Okay, so I guess the most important question here, firstly, who gets to put motions, forward in the Dewan Rakyat?
Well, really, any MP or minister can put forward a motion. And I think the role of the Speaker really in this is to ensure that the motion complies with the House's rules in relation to format, in relation to content, as well as to notice period. But I may be jumping the gun here, but I think the crucial question in this case actually is not so much who can put forward a motion, but really four separate issues. Firstly, is there a balance or an imbalance between the rules and restrictions on putting forward motions between government front bench, so ministers, versus government backbench and opposition MPs? And the answer is yes, there is a difference. And I think that's the crucial factor here. So, for example, ministers can put in motions with little to no notice. But for the backbench and opposition MPs, as a general rule, they would need to submit motions 14 days ahead of time. So even having met this threshold of the notice requirements, motions by government ministers are placed in the priority class, yeah, under government business, as opposed to motions by the backbenchers or by opposition MPs, which are classified as private members' business. And so then the question we need to ask is, okay, if that's the case, who decides Parliament agenda, right? And in terms of who decides the Parliament agenda, we then need to look at the type of meeting we're having. Now, in a regular meeting of Parliament, there would be a standard order of business which must be followed. And most of us are familiar with this. So, for example, parliamentary questions must come before government business, and government business must come before private members' business. But within all of this, there are a few groups. There's a small group of people who can actually initiate a change of this agenda. Yeah, the standing orders allows, for example, a minister to move a motion to rearrange the order of business. And there is also a provision in the standing orders which allows the House to suspend the standing orders as well, which would then allow the prioritization of a particular motion. Once again, the problem with that is that the real ability to initiate or use these powers is in the hands of the government frontbench ministers, not accessible by the backbench or by opposition MPs. So those are really the restrictions relating to motions, and also a summary of what the Speaker's role and power is.
Could I just check? I mean, in terms of those restrictions, in terms of timing, priority and the like, is this common across parliaments around the world? You know, is this something that we see elsewhere? Is it unique to us?
There are variations. There are a number of variations in relation to, for example, the ability to suspend, to ask for a suspension of parliamentary orders, or to ask for an adjournment even. more leeway is given to backbench and private members in general in other more mature parliaments, more mature Westminster parliaments. And also, of course, in those situations, there is also time set aside for private members' business, whether it's bills or motions, which we don't have here. But I wonder whether if, since we are talking about the sitting on the 26th of July, a lot of what we're talking about now is actually academic or rather hypothetical, simply because the sitting on the 26th of July is a special sitting, and that has completely different, you know, a special class of agenda, or rather how the agenda is set. So in that case, with special sitting under Standing Order 11.3, the rules suggest that it is the Prime Minister who has authority to decide what the business of the sitting is. So then the question becomes, does this mean that no other items of business, no other motions can be included in the agenda? And this is where we have differing views. Some people take the position that no other business can be discussed except what's been proposed by the Prime Minister. I find that a little hard to agree with, simply because if a motion is being proposed by backbenchers or by opposition MPs that relates directly to the business that the Prime Minister wants to discuss during the special meeting, then that motion ought to be given the chance to go before the full House. Of course, so long as it abides by the general rules about form, notice period, and so on and so forth.
Briefly, where does the Agong enter the picture? Do motions in Parliament need to be approved by the Yang di-Pertuan Agong?
The short answer is that the Agong plays no role in approving Dewan Rakyat motions. I suspect, though, this comes back to the article relating to Tun Mahathir. Mm. I suspect that perhaps something was lost in translation there. I'm speculating, of course, because I haven't seen the actual wording of his motions. I also haven't seen the speaker's letter. But I would venture to guess that probably what happened there is the speaker probably gave a response in relation to the motion proposing the setting up of a National Recovery Council. Now, that's not something that actually Parliament can decide of its own volition and authority to do through a motion. They can't do that. Yeah. And it also wouldn't be appropriate for the House, I think, to pass a resolution directing the Agong to set one up. So I suspect it was really on those grounds that the Speaker probably rejected that motion.
In your view, what are some things that urgently need discussing in Parliament?
I think obviously, the emergency ordinances and the emergency proclamation as a whole, of course, the National Recovery Plan, and also in general, all the policies relating to the pandemic. I think clearly there are differing views on whether the government should bring a motion to debate the emergency ordinances instead of just laying it before the House. I'm of the view that there should be such a motion. I think that that is in keeping with both the spirit and the letter of the Constitution. And I think there's also some precedent for this because in 2011, the Najib administration presented motions in Parliament to set aside three emergency proclamations from the 60s and 70s. So there is we can rely on past experience for that.
Yeah. And in closing, what are your thoughts on the manner in which the parliamentary sitting next Monday will be conducted? Are there ways perhaps that it can be improved?
Okay, I think I can't presume to second guess the speaker's actions because I don't have his understanding of the equities that are in play. I will say, though, I think in my view, it's very important for all parties to remember that over and above the specific rules that seem to allow the government of the day and the PM, you know, specific powers to convene and direct the agenda, two overarching principles still remain. The House is always in control of its own procedure and its own agenda. Secondly, through the authority vested by the House, the Speaker retains interpretive discretion over the rules. As a Malaysian, I would, of course, like to see a full and robust debate on the emergency ordinances and also on the pandemic policies as a whole. But I can see how this has put the Speaker in a difficult position. What I would ask the Speaker to consider is simply this, that if the view is that the PM has sole control over the agenda for the five-day sitting, then perhaps what the Speaker can do is to formally write and inform the PM of these pending motions that have been submitted and to officially ask for the PM's position on whether he would consider their inclusion into the agenda.
Maha, thank you so much for speaking with us.
You're most welcome. Thank you for having me.
That was Maha Balakrishnan, parliamentary consultant and researcher, talking to us about essentially the process of putting motions forward in the Dewan Rakyat, and also the process by which those motions are then prioritized. This is coming, of course, after a bit of an exchange between Pejuang Chairman to Dr. Mahathir Mohamad and Speaker of the House, Dewan Rakyat Speaker Dato' Azhar Azizan Harun. Let us know what you think. You can, of course, WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 and tweet us at PFM Radio. We have some music coming your way and then the 7:30 news, after which on Everyone's a Critic Tonight, Sharmila and Dash will be reviewing Imaginarium, which is an online audio immersive theatre performance, which sounds very interesting. So keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.